But it does. What the serpent was saying was saying, in this thing that you think you need, that you don't have, in this you will actually be happy and you'll be fulfilled and you'll actually find contentment. In this thing that you don't have yet, more is better. And what did they have in that? Like, what did they have, Adam and Eve? Well, they had the garden and they had paradise and they had pure love and they could eat from any fruit of any tree in that garden except for the one. And more importantly, they had the presence of God in their life every day. God walked with them daily. But they bought into the lie. It's the same lie that we fall for all the time. More is better. What we don't have is actually what we need. And in that, that's where we're going to find happiness. And that's where we're going to find fulfillment. And that's where we're going to be content. Every marketing message out there right now, everything that you see on social media, you turn the TV on, you turn the radio on, you go and try and read a blog online. I can't even follow a recipe online without getting ads that are telling me, you need this thing. It makes me crazy when I'm trying to follow a recipe and they're telling me all the other things I need. I'm like, I just need to know how much salt I need to put in this dish. But everything is telling me that what I don't have is what I need. You need more money. You need more toys. You need more bags. You need more square footage. You need more travel. You need more likes. You need more hair. Well, okay. Okay, not on your back. They'll tell you you don't need that. But what if the stuff that you have is actually keeping you from the life that you want? So today we're going to be looking at the habit of simplicity. When less is better. And we're going to look at a story from Paul in the book of Acts, chapter 27. It's Paul on the ship. And so what's going to happen, what I'd like for us to see out of this story is we're going to find our key thought for the morning out of this story. So here's Paul. Paul is on this ship. He's on the way to Rome. And they find themselves caught up in this terrible storm. And the ship is being battered. It feels like it's going to fall apart. And they're fearing for their lives. They're beaten down. The crew's expecting to die, like at any moment, because they can't see a way through. So this is where they're at. And so I want to pick up this story towards the end. Because here Paul has told them that they need to eat. They hadn't eaten in like 2 weeks because of all the anxiousness and all the worry and all the battering and the storm they had. They couldn't even eat. So Paul's saying to them, hey, it's been a while. You should probably eat something. And so if we look at chapter 27 and we look at verses 35 to 38, it reads like this. And when he had said these things, he took bread and he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took food for themselves. In all, we were 276 persons on that ship. Verse 38. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. When they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw everything overboard. Why? Why would you do that? You're still out, like at sea. You're still in this storm. You're still in this boat. Why would they go and throw everything else overboard? They needed to lighten the ship. so that it could run faster, so that it could outrun the storm and avoid the rocks. So when did they lighten that ship? When they had enough. So the question becomes, what is enough? Enough is when you have what you need. And see, for us to practice the habit of simplicity, we have to learn a new phrase for our lives. We have to have something in our lives that reminds us that enough is having just what we need. And so this new phrase is, I have enough. Can you say it with me this morning, everyone? I have enough. Let's try it again. I have enough. That's the new phrase that we have to learn for our lives. But here's the thing about this phrase. We can say it over and, like, we could just sit here this morning and say it over and over and over again. And we could go home this afternoon and say it over and over and over again. We could get up tomorrow morning and say it first thing in the morning and every day the rest of the week. But the truth of this statement is that this is super hard for us to believe. Like, for most of us. Most of us have a hard time believing that we have enough in our life. The Lord is my shepherd, and I have all that I need. The Lord is my shepherd, and I have enough. But it's hard to believe it. So for us to be able to live the habit of simplicity, I have two prayers that I want us to learn this morning. For our lives. If we want to live into that simplicity, these two prayers, I think, are going to be game changers for how we view this statement, I have enough. They're going to help us move from believing the lie of more to living in the truth of enough. And so that I'll have you pray these with me, but let me read them out to you first. God, give me less of what doesn't matter. And God, give me more of what does matter. Let me read it for you again. God, give me less of what doesn't matter. God, give me more of what does matter. Can we pray that right now together? God, give me less of what doesn't matter. And God, give me more of what does matter. Can you imagine if we prayed this consistently in our lives? Like, it would be countercultural. It would go against everything that culture is telling you, because the world is telling you what? More is better. And we're asking God for less. And so it would be countercultural, but it actually lines up right with what Jesus is teaching us in the Gospels. Let's look at the first part of that prayer again. God, give me less of what doesn't matter. Jesus taught this principle. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there, the desires of your heart will also be. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be. Remember, we're talking about habits of our hearts here. If you want to change your habits, if you want to change your life, then you have to let God change your heart. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. And Jesus is saying what? He's saying, don't store up stuff. Don't do it. Don't accumulate. Don't hoard. Like, that's what Jesus is saying here. Don't grab everything. But for some people, it's the goal to accumulate as much as you can. Bigger bank balance. Why? Because you find security in money instead of God. Maybe it's another new outfit. Why? Maybe because it's an external validation for an internal void. And don't worry, it's not lost on me. I got a brand new shirt on today. I timed that super poorly. I was so excited about the shirt. I had saved it for a couple weeks. And I wore it today, and then I'm writing my stuff out. I'm like, oh. Do I edit that out for my own sake? Maybe it's a kitchen that's being remodeled for the third time in 3 years. Why? Maybe it's a marriage that's in trouble and nobody wants to face it. Like, there's plenty of reasons for us to store up stuff. Like, we can find the reasons. But Jesus is telling us, less is better. So if you want less of what doesn't matter in your life, what should you do? Well, let's take a look at scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. We need to get rid of everything that gets in the way. Strip it off. Every weight, every stuff, every schedule, every distraction, everything that interferes, everything that slows you down, you need to throw it overboard. And keep your eyes on Jesus. And man, we have stuff. We have stuff that slows us down, folks. We have overflowing closets. We have overflowing garages. We have garages that are so full, we can't use them for our cars. It was shocking to me when I moved to the island and everyone was parked in their driveways. Because I'm an Alberta kid. You have a garage, it's for your car, because it's going to be minus 40. But we have garages that are extra storage rooms of our homes. We have so much stuff that one of the biggest and most successful businesses out there is storage units. We're renting more space outside of the space that we already have so that we can get more stuff. We need to throw stuff overboard like our lives depend on it, because they do. God, give me less of what doesn't matter. The second part of that prayer is, God, give me more of what does matter. Ecclesiastes 4:6. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Better is one handful with tranquility than with two handfuls with toil. It's a hard concept. Most people, what they want to do is they want to grab two handfuls and more and shove it all in. And that's what we want to do. Like, I know When I came home with this bag of jelly beans yesterday, Ruby's eyes got big as saucers. Because you see it and you just want to grab them. I'll be honest, it's jelly beans because I don't like jelly beans. If this had been Reese's or M&M's, I wouldn't have had anything left for this morning. But what happens is when we have two handfuls, is we have no space left. Our hands are full. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil. Because when you have one handful, what happens to the other one? You have a free hand. You have a free hand now. Less of what doesn't matter makes more room for what does matter. And so you have this free hand. What are you going to do with it? You could hug someone. You could give to someone. You could encourage someone. You could praise God. You can give to God. You can surrender to God. But with two handfuls, you have toil. Better is one handful. Less is better. Better is one handful without having to fix and replace and stress and be anxious and replace things all the time. Better is one handful without the debt that's weighing you down. Better is one handful than chasing the things that don't matter when your relationships are struggling. Better is one handful and spending valuable time with loved ones instead of pouring your life into things that won't last. Better is one handful. So to have more of what does matter, we need to define what matters most. And so for some people, they're going to say, my relationship with God matters most. Yeah, you're right. For some, it'll be my spouse matters. My children matter. Making a difference in the world matters. My church matters. Showing God's love matters. Maybe it's your sobriety that matters. Maybe it's having your loved ones know who Jesus is that matters. But you know what won't be on that list? Like at the end of your days, when people are sitting around and remembering who you were, and people are going to say things about you, you know what's not going to make the list? Hey, you know Johnny over here? He had the best couch ever. Like you could sink into that thing and you could lay down and it was brown leather and it had this worn, the best couch ever. Hey, Jenny over here? Oh, man. Jenny had the newest, latest Apple Watch you could imagine. Man, that was the coolest. I totally remember that about Jenny. Man, she had the nicest Apple Watch. Oh, yeah, you know the Joneses over there? Oh, they were great people. They had the best, most beautiful countertops I've ever seen. I loved going to their house so that I could see how well those countertops matched with their cabinets. Oh, man, do you remember little Timmy? Oh, Timmy had a 200-inch TV. Oh, man, I loved watching hockey on there. Not the Oilers. But man, I loved watching hockey on there. It was the best. See, those things aren't going to make the list. They won't be in the list of things that really matter. Because when we draw closer to God, when we draw closer to Jesus, we realize the most important things aren't actually things. So we have our three kids, Heidi and I. Lennon, by the way, Lennon is planning on giving you guys an update and a report here soon about his trip to Ecuador. He might even share a picture of him getting an IV. But I'll leave that up to him. But we have our three kids. Lennon is graduating high school next week. So I won't, yeah. I know. So we won't be here next week, just so you know. So if you guys want to make fun of my sports teams, there's your chance. So we won't be here because next week Lennon's graduating, and this summer he's turning 18. He's going to be an adult. Judah isn't here this morning. He started his first ever job yesterday. And he had training this morning. We're going to work around that schedule in the future, but training was training. And I'll be honest, I'm super excited about Judah working because I'm kind of hoping for like free fries from McDonald's from here on in. Like I really am. I'm super excited about it. Ruby, when I look at Ruby, like when we came out here looking for a house and we were getting ready to move, Ruby was sleeping in her carrier. And like Lindsay would have to stay outside in the van while Heidi and I went in and looked at places because she was sleeping. She was just a little baby. So much has changed. Time has flown by. But when I look back, even at the 10 years, 11 years that we've been here, it's not the things that I remember. Those aren't the things that I remember. I remember the first time that we went down to Whitty's Lagoon with the kids. And we went out and we started flipping rocks, and I was watching the kids as all those dozens of tiny little crabs went scurrying everywhere, and the kids were trying to figure out how to pick these things up because we're like suburban Calgary prairie kids. And we don't know how to pick up crabs. I know how to go to Red Lobster. But I don't know how to pick up. But I remember that day as they flipped up rocks and they were just in awe. And there's so much joy and laughter as they tried to figure it out. I remember going on lunch dates with Judah. We'd go and pick up KFC and we'd go down to the beach. And the game was to see how far we could throw rocks into the ocean. I remember chasing after Ruby in the empty school parking lot behind our house when she was learning how to ride a bike. And I was full of fear, and I was running behind her because, heaven forbid, my baby girl falls. So I remember moments, but I don't remember the things. The things don't make the list. Heidi and I, we've been married now 21 years. And it's very rarely been about the things. Listen, I buy into the lie as much as everyone else. And there were lots of times when we bought into the more is better. And we got ourselves into some trouble with it. But for the most part, it wasn't more is better because we were super poor. So we didn't have an option of more. We went and walked around the mall and walked past Lululemon. But like that wasn't in the cards for us. But what we used to do as newlyweds, was we'd go walk around our neighborhood. Mostly when I was like putting off any kind of paper I had to write for Bible school. Then I always wanted to go for a walk. And so we would go for these walks and we would talk and we would dream about our future and what our family would look like and what all these things could be. And now we still go for walks. We went for another walk again yesterday. I'll be honest, there's way more huffing and puffing on my part than 21 years ago. Like I'm huffing and puffing yesterday. I thought, this isn't a hill. We're walking up a mountain today. But it's our time to share about our day. And it's our time to share about our plans. And it's our time to pray together. And it's our time to laugh together. It's moments, not things. Better is one handful with things that matter than two handfuls with things that don't. God, give me less of what doesn't matter and give me more of what does matter. So let's say this statement again. I have enough. Can you say that with me again? I have enough. One more time. I have enough. And I'll be super honest. I'm transparent with you guys up here. This statement that we're saying here, it's actually super hard to believe it. But there's a reason. Because it's actually incomplete. Because if you're a regular person just trying to get through life and find some happiness, everything in this world is going to tell you that more is better. So I want to fill in the rest of this statement so that we can say it and we can believe it. Because I have Jesus, I have enough. Now we can say it and believe it. Because I have Jesus, I have enough. And some will say this, I do have Jesus. I gave my life to Jesus. I've been baptized. I come to church. I do the things. I'm in a small group. But you know what? I still want more. And some will say, Claudio, you don't know my life. I really don't have enough, legitimately. Like, forget the TV and the Apple Watch. I don't have a job. And I acknowledge that. I acknowledge that there are people out there that are hurting. But Paul speaks to this in the book of Philippians. Philippians 4, verses 12 and 13. I know how to live on almost nothing or everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, whether it's with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. So a lot of us love landing on verse 13. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. But the verse 12 is super important for our lives. Jesus gives me strength. Jesus gives me contentment. Because I have Jesus, I have enough. When I'm well fed, I have Jesus. When I'm hungry, I still have Jesus. When I have plenty, I have Jesus. When I find myself in want, I still have Jesus. And again, some say, I have Jesus, but I still want some more things for comfort, for this, for that. Why? Why would people do that? If we're saying that if I have Jesus, I have enough, why are people still looking outside of Jesus? He's just part of the equation. Here's why. Because some people have Jesus in the background of their life. And when he's in the background, he's super easy to miss and ignore because he's back there. Your life is so full of stuff that Jesus doesn't fit. You can't get him in there. When he's in front, he's impossible to miss. When you're seeking Jesus first, seek first the kingdom of God. Then more of what matters will be added to your life. Jesus isn't just a historical figure. He's not just a Sunday school lesson from when you were a kid. He's your closest friend. He's the bread of life. He's the light of the world. He's the good shepherd. He's the truth and the way and the life. And when you put him first, then you begin to understand that because you have Jesus, you have enough. How much is enough? A handful. That's enough. You don't need more than that. On that ship, when they had enough, they took everything else. And they threw it overboard. And you know what happened when they did that? There was room for Jesus. Less is better. And when I have Jesus, I have enough.